You are listening to Singularity, episode 13. Welcome, Miracle Makers. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we are not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season, we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us with season one as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just like the course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others, this one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee, have your pen and paper handy, and follow along in the text if you have it. Don't forget a free version is available at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Here we go. Welcome back, Miracle Makers, to Singularity, episode 13. We are covering part 5 and 5A of chapter 2. This section of the course reveals to us our function and our 8 special principles as miracle makers. Let's begin with paragraph 1. In the last episode, we learned the release of fear heals us. But the first thing we're told here is we fear release. We have to be clear on this before we can go any further because the rest of this will build on this understanding. We fear release because we see it as imprisonment. And it's a common fear that we all have and we're not even aware of. The part of the mind viewing this as imprisonment is the same part of us that thinks it's a body existing in this world apart from God. The same mindset that took over when we decided we were separate from God. The part wanting to keep its individuality intact is referred to as ego. This ego mind is aware as we start to uncover our truths. Those truths will begin to unravel the only reality it can exist in. So the ego tries very hard to keep us in the dark. It does so by keeping us in a state of fear, without us even realizing it. There are two ways it does this. One, it keeps us believing we have no control over our minds. We think, it's unpredictable and could harm us, so I'm going to not go poking around in there trying to do any thinking of my own. And two, ego keeps us busy and focused on the belief that we are these bodies, fearing if the body is harmed, it is us being harmed. Both are miscreations and lies of the ego mind, which is in a constant state of fear, desperately trying to hang on to these lies because it knows we will ultimately remember and realize we no longer need it. So the ego uses scare tactics to trap and distract us with thinking we are these bodies. Now, all of our creative ability is focused away from the mind and onto the body, pulling our attention away from the mind, because it knows this is the place where our power to correct all of this exists. Ego knows we will no longer need it, or this world of illusion, when we realize our truth and the true creative power of our mind. With this understanding of how the ego mind works, we can better understand why it sees the release of fear as imprisonment. Release from fear or healing realigns us with our truth and sets our mindset back to right-mindedness, abolishing the ego mind. Knowing this, we can now see the only real work to be done here is to train the mind to refocus on its ability to create only the truly meaningful and no longer miscreate. To do this, we must realize first, we have all of the say in our choice to create from our mind. And from those creations, anything created outside of love isn't even real. It has zero function. Its only purpose is to distract us from our truth. And our truth is, we are not these bodies. These bodies are only a tool for our mind. We are spirit, and spirit is perfect. Let's move to paragraph 2. Fear and ego are not one and the same, but they do kind of go hand in hand. Fear makes us vulnerable and ego mind thrives in these conditions. The course tells us if fear keeps us from seeing that the healing is done in the mind, then we are better off temporarily finding outside sources for healing because the fear makes it far too easy for us to miscreate and almost impossible to see the true source of our healing. Paragraph 3. When we are in the mindset of miracle readiness, we're able to see the mind of the giver and the receiver for what it truly is, no more, no less. The miracle maker has to be in a state of right-mindedness for the miracle, even if it's briefly. The receiver doesn't have to be, because the miracle is returning the receiver back to the right-mindedness. Paragraph 4. As miracle makers, we cannot just sit around and wait for our readiness, but at the same time, we can't sit and worry about our readiness either. We have to trust the true nature set in place by God, within us and in the miracle, to take its course and correct any error standing in the way. When our mindset is anything but right-mindedness, it is because at some level, we have refused the atonement for ourselves, and we fail in readying ourselves because fear has crept in somewhere. Paragraph 5. This is where we are finally introduced to our function as a miracle maker. The only function we have as miracle makers is to accept the atonement for ourselves. This heals the mind so we no longer miscreate. Now, with a healed mind, we create only to bring us and the receiver to the truth instead of further from it. The miracle sends the message to the receiver that anything outside of love thinking isn't real. It can't harm, showing them they have the power to do the same. Knowing the power comes from the mind, not the body, and the body's only design is to listen to the commands of the mind. Paragraph 6. This paragraph restates the importance of knowing the mind is the only creative level, and the body is the learning device, not the learner. Only the mind is capable of holding the truth. The mind brings the truth to the body because the body is too dense, and the truth is held in spirit. So the mind carries the truth between the body and the spirit. For the mind to bring the truth to the body, it has to be in a state of remembering that it is an extension from spirit, and these bodies are only the tool to help the mind achieve that. Spirit only works with the mind, not the body. The body can be brought into alignment with the mind and be used by the mind, but it is not a part of spirit. Paragraph 7. Corrective learning begins with awakening spirit or truth, and training the mind to give up its dependency on this physical world, by learning to use our senses from love and not fear. This fear created the separation, and it's the same fear keeping us locked in the separate mindset. This is because the emotion behind how we perceive dictates the state of mind we feed, and we experience the world our mindset chooses. So when we choose love, this calls spirit or truth forward in all of our actions, and we begin to see with our holy vision, or from the mindset of spirit. We start to see everything and everyone for how they truly are. The Course tells us that when we take this journey with spirit, spirit doesn't focus on the error. It sees it for the nothing it is. Spirit knows us by our holiness only, because that is all there really is. Spirit doesn't recognize this body or this world of illusion because spirit only recognizes truth. It tells us we are to make a habit to only use the discomfort from our errors to urge us to fix them, not fixate on them. Doing this will lead us to spiritual awareness. Because of the illusion of time and separation, healing became necessary as protection, and our healing rests on charity. Within time, there is no way we can experience the full capacity of love and still remain in a separate mindset. So we access love in the amount and in the ways that we can. This version of love, the Course calls charity. This is the love present in healing. Charity is a love we all possess, allowing for us to see the holiness of another, even if we have lost sight of our own. Charity aids in healing because it recognizes the pure and total potential in someone. At times, some people cannot see their own pure potential. If they could, then charity wouldn't even be necessary. As miracle makers, we extend the charity needed for the miracle. This means that we acknowledge they may need help and know that they will accept it. The miracle, as an act of charity, shortens the amount of suffering by reaching into the past and into the future of both the giver and the receiver, dissolving error that made the healing necessary. On to Part 5A. The Course has a list of 8 special principles for us, especially if we are wanting to be an intentional miracle maker. Each one of these principles holds a very important component to being a miracle maker. With that said, I really took my time going through and studying each one. I wanted to simplify the best I could what each special principle was for us, and here they are. Special principles of miracle makers. 1. Become aware of the things that distract you from your truth. 2. Become very familiar with how you feel and function in truth, and how it affects you when you start to deviate from truth. 3. When we come across error thinking, whether it's us or someone else, be in the practice of not letting it upset, ashamed, or scare you away from your truth. Instead, move forward determined to heal. 4. Recognize error when you see it, yes, but recognize it as the nothing it is. Don't let it affect you, because no thing, or nothing, has an effect. Remember, only truth can have an effect. 5. Forgiveness is meant to heal. However, we've learned to use it as a form of judgment. 6. We must train our minds to no longer see it this way, and then retrain our minds to heal with forgiveness. 7. Remember, while in time, or in these bodies, we exist for and with each other. But in timelessness, or when we remember that we no longer need these bodies, we coexist with God. Now, I think that's what 2 Corinthians 5 is saying when it says in verse 7, while in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Last one, 8. In this last principle, the Course gives us a mantra or a prayer to use to connect with our truth. I used it today when preparing for this episode. And the prayer or mantra is this: I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love sharing them with you, but my intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. Until next time, keep shining.